From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report. It is the 24th day of January 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana, and Don Day of Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming will be here to look at the agricultural weather forecast. In the ag news for the day, the U.S. Supreme Court has ruled against a California law forcing slaughterhouse operators to immediately euthanize animals unable to stand or walk. An Iowa company is the recipient of a $25 million loan guarantee to build a cellulosic ethanol plant, and the government of Argentina has backed off its 2012 crop year yield forecast. Dave Dickey will have all the details and other stories shortly. Also this half hour, we'll hear the portion of the Commodity Week program our radio listeners missed last weekend. We'll play the second half of the interview with Dave Hightower. And it all comes up on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Support for stock and commodity reports on Illinois Public Media comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, now hosting risk management seminars. A complete list of seminars is at sfarmmarketing.com.
Checking the numbers as they settled up in Chicago for a Tuesday afternoon. They were higher in the CME group, nearby March contract at 633.5, up 13.75. May futures 650.75, up 13. And July at $6.66.25, up 12 cents. March corn futures 630.25, 10.25 higher. The May at 635.25, up 9.5 cents. And July 638.5, up 8.75. December futures $5.62.5, up 6.25 cents. For the afternoon. March soybean futures up 2.5 at 1220. May at 1228 at 1228.75, up 3.25. July at 1238, 3.75 higher. August at 1234, up 4. November beans at $12.13, 5.5 cents higher for the day. The January futures of next year up 5.75 at $12.20. Bean meal at 323.50, up 2.50. Bean oil up 7, or rather down 7, at 51.35. Mercantile exchange live cattle futures at 125.80, up $1.20 in the February. April at 129.17.5, finished $1 higher for 100 pounds. January future cattle at 152.32.5, up 42.5. And March futures there at 154.87.5, up $1.12.5. Lean hogs finished $86.02.5, down 45. April at 87.85, 65 cents lower. You're listening to the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. It comes to you from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Nearby crude oil futures at $99.08 a barrel, 50 cents lower. Ethanol at 217.5, up 2-tenths of a cent. Natural gas rather up 2 and 2-tenths of a cent. Natural gas at 254.4, that's a penny and 9-tenths lower. Heating oil at 303, 2 cents higher. And the gold futures on the day down $13.80 at $1,664.20. For troy ounce. The U.S. dollar at 79.87, that's up 0.08. The CRB index at 314.69, 1.1 higher on the afternoon. The weather forecast for the Urbana-Champaign area today says that we'll see mostly sunny skies for the rest of the afternoon, a high near 35 degrees with a northwest wind between 5 and 7 miles an hour. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low of 22 with a north-northwest wind at about 5 miles an hour. It'll become calm if 5's not slow enough for you. Wednesday night, a slight chance of rain, sleet afternoon, mostly cloudy, a high near 37 degrees. Calm winds becoming southeasterly at 4 to 7, and a chance precip tomorrow, just 20%. Thursday, partly sunny, with a high of 43 degrees, with a northwest wind between 3 and 9, and then Thursday night, partly cloudy, and a low of 27 degrees. Friday, mostly sunny, a high of 42. Friday night, cloudy and 26. Saturday, sunny and 36. Saturday night, cloudy and a low of 20 degrees. Sunday night, mostly sunny, a high of 29. And Sunday night, cloudy and 22 degrees. Monday, mostly cloudy with a high near 39 degrees. We'll take a complete look at the weather forecast for the agricultural growing regions of the world. Closer to the bottom of the half hour, we'll talk with Don Day of Day Weather. He's in Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. We have scheduled our all-day Ag Outlook meeting. It is the 6th day of March. That's the first Tuesday of the month at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. All the details you'll hear as we make our way through the next month or so. But you know as well as I do that if you'd like to go, you need to get in early. We started out with sales this morning. 22 tickets already gone just after a couple of hours this morning. You can call this number, 217-333-7300. I'll repeat that later in the program, 217-333-7300, to reserve your seat for the All-Day Ag Outlook at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. The cost is $25. It is Tuesday, March the 6th. Today is Tuesday afternoon, and it is the 24th day of January. From the L&M office there in New Market, Indiana, John Hester is on the phone line with us to talk about the agricultural futures markets. Good afternoon to you, John.
Good afternoon.
Well, let's talk about those markets and what they did today. It was a nice little up day in the marketplace.
Yes, I think when the morning started this morning that everybody was expecting the market to be lower because of better-than-expected Argentine and Brazilian rain overnight, and with good coverage and amounts of 1 to 3 inches, and the ugly debt crisis in Greece has reared its head again, and with Germany saying they're not going to put any more money in the pot. But it was a very pleasant surprise when stuff opened lower and they started to rally, and some of the reasons for the rally where farmers are holding tight cash sales. Most farmers are cash rich right now and don't think they need to be making any more sales. Ethanol demand is good. Their plants around here bidding up pretty good for corn and not getting as much as they need. And the basis is very good for corn. So, you know, then were some things that helped. And then I saw a glitch on the newswire that went through, and probably the biggest thing that caused the market to turn and rally, there was a rumor out of South America that Argentina might put an export ban on corn and soybeans because their crop was so poor. And that was strictly just a rumor, and that probably caused the market to make a jump.
Did you see the little note about the, and I don't know whether this has been fixed yet, about the stranded ship in Argentina that was blocking most of the export port, too?
No, I did not see that.
There was I saw that. I think that was, I read that overnight, I think, somewhere along the lines. That,
I did not see
they've
that.
They've got a little ship problem down there. They probably have that fixed, although I think it was a pretty good-sized boat that was blocking, I think, five different entrances or five different port areas down there. So those are some of the things that have been happening. Do you think producers are correct in holding on at this point to their old crop corn?
I think producers are probably... Most farmers are in the mode of they think that corn's going higher. It's going to go back to $7 to $8. I personally don't think that. I think old corn anywhere from $6.50 to $7. Guys got to be selling some of it. Maybe not all of it. Keep a little, but I think it needs to be sold. And $12.50 plus in the soybeans, I think. A guy's got to sell some there because there's no guarantee that this stuff's going to go back as high.
John,
as it was.
Thank you so much for taking the time with us today.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. Thank you.
We appreciate it. He's filling in for Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Have you dialed in at 217-333-7300 to get your ticket for the All-Day Ag Outlook yet? Probably better get started now. Would be a good idea. We have reserved seats. We've sold out the last couple of years. Can't guarantee that'll happen this year, but you might want to make sure that you've got a ticket one way or the other. 217-333-7300. Dave Dickey will be here in just a moment with today's Agricultural News.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 95 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
In agricultural news, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled Monday that California cannot enforce a state law that required slaughterhouse operators to immediately euthanize animals that were unable to stand or walk. The Supreme Court said the California law was preempted by the Federal Meat Inspectors Act, which imposes different requirements on slaughterhouses. The California law could have its most significant impact in the pork industry. That's because under federal law, non-walking pigs can be slaughtered and sold for human consumption if they pass federal inspection. California lawmakers passed a state law in 2008 to prevent inhumane treatment of downed animals. An Iowa company has received a financial jolt from USDA with a $25 million guaranteed loan to build a cellulosic ethanol plant in eastern Iowa. Fiberite LLC has plans to build a 55,000-square-foot, $59.5 million plant on the site of an old corn-based ethanol plant in Blairstown, Iowa. The company plans to convert municipal solid waste and other industrial pulps into advanced biofuels. Fiberite expects to produce about 3.6 million gallons of cellulosic ethanol per year. The Argentina government on Monday lowered its forecasts for 2011-12 crops. The corn forecast was trimmed the most, with the government now estimating the crop at 23 million metric tons. While that still will mark a new record, it is down sharply from the government's early expectations of up to 30 million tons. Just 1% of the corn crop is in very good shape, 32% in good condition, 42% average, and 25% in poor shape, according to the Argentina Ministry. The ministry cut its soybean forecast to 48.9 million metric tons from 52 million to 53 million tons seen last month. Greece's finance minister believes his country will be able to reach a deal with private bondholders to cut its debt, despite tougher terms set by its Eurozone partners. Greece is in talks with private creditors to swap their existing bonds with new ones of a lower value and interest rates. On Monday night, Eurozone ministers decided to cap interest rates on the new bonds below 4%, less than the private creditors would like. McDonald's says net income rose by 11% in the fourth quarter. Net income of $1.38 billion translated to $1.33 per share. Revenue jumped 10% to $6.82 billion. CEO Jim Skinner says that the company plans to open 1,300 new restaurants in the coming year. Skinner also says that McDonald's will continue to set aside money for renovating restaurants. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey's Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, and the co-host of our annual All-Day Ag Outlook meeting. That one's the 6th day of March over at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. And we've got a dynamite lineup, including Mike Morris. He's the chief appraiser at First Farm Credit Services. Purdue Ag economist Chris Hurt will be there, along with Joe Vaklovic from Straits Financial and Steve Platt from Archer Financial Services. Our theme is managing risk in volatile markets. The cost, $25. That includes a continental breakfast and the Beef House lunch. Register now at 217-333-7300 and avoid the registration line. We'll take all major credit cards. Call 217-333-7300. That's 333-7300. And we'll mail your tickets, good for our VIP line, the day of the event.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Now, up next, if you were listening to Commodity Week on the radio over the weekend, you kind of heard that fade out, and then you were wondering what it was that Dave Hightower had to say for the rest of the program. Well, here it comes right now.
Dave, we're at the new part of the show here, as Todd winked at me. I'm going to give you four different commodities, and just tell me if you're bullish or bearish, and if you want to highlight it some way. But give me the dollar. Are you bullish or bearish?
Oh, the dollar. Oh, I thought you were saying the dollar value. Well, again, I kind of
have... wanted you to give him dollars. That's all.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Actually, I'm bearish to the dollar because the dollar has been, since last October, it's been an all-in flight-to-quality safety net. And I have a different view than a lot of people. I think the Eurozone crisis is ending. Even though the ECB's been supporting these debt auctions, they are getting through them. And you know what I've noticed? I call it the three strikes and you're out situation. In the markets, and I learned this through Chernobyl and Fukushima, that after a while the markets get worn out on a story, and after they've had three major reactions to it, they pretty much leave it alone. And so I think the Eurozone, believe it or not, is going to cease to be a big issue, and the dollars probably, all things considered, will be sharply lower by the time we get to midsummer.
How about the stock market?
The stock market, actually, if you look at the S&P, we saw this week, I believe, was it everything but the S&P made a new high? Mm-hmm. But when you look at the net spec and fund log in the S&P, you're 15, 20, 25,000. I didn't see tonight's COT figures, but it is not at an 85,000 level. And here's what I think. The stock market's telling us something. The Chinese are now back into an easing posture. Our Federal Reserve came to us and said, we're going to remain in an easing posture until unemployment's better, and even if we see higher inflation. So, and I think I saw a study today that says it's a 70% chance of higher equity prices in an election year where the incumbent, where there's an incumbent running again. So, election year, Fed easing, bullish. So maybe not at this level. I mean, I hate to buy a bulge that we're on, but there's a reason why we're about to break out into year-and-a-half highs in the equity markets. That's because I think a sense of recovery.
And how about gold?
I don't know if any of you were in our seminar this weekend, but I was a seller of gold at 1800. And again, I'm thinking, first of all, the gold's going to get back to 1800, and earlier this week that was somewhat of a surprising prediction. But the gold market is maybe not going to be as interesting of an item as people think until we get really late in the year, and we need to get some economic capacity. So I think we're going to rally. That's another $140 in gold, and then I think we might have a little bit of a difficult summer because what gold needs. It's back to a classic physical commodity, and it needs a good recovery and some kind of whiff of inflation. And boy, I'm just not ready to call that yet.
Okay, I didn't know. I thought you said you had four of them, Dave. When you're looking at everything, if the technicals are stronger than the fundamentals in any market, how do you weigh that? When you're trying to decide what you want to predict and what you want to advise.
Well, I mean we are fundamentalists to the bone, in which we totally believe the technicals. We take them seriously. We let them guide an opinion that we've probably already had put in place. I mean, if you see a breakout in the corn market. And you're coming into a 95 million acre market expectation in the next month, that's a real difficult thing. I mean, to go fundamental over the technicals there, that's a tough thing. So we're fundamentalists at heart. And I like to look at the technicals, and in the morning when we're writing our daily comments, we really, from the shorter term perspective, we raise up the importance of those technicals and tone down the importance of the fundamentals. So it all depends on what kind of. But if I'm a hedger, if I'm a buyer of grain or a seller of grain, and I'm thinking about how to handle 2012, I'm going to start with that fundamental picture, and I'm going to try and let the technicals maybe fine tune what it is I'm trying to do. Whenever I'm looking to change my hedge coverage 30 days out from now. I'm going to be watching those technicals really close.
So what did you make of the hook up in old crop corn then this week?
Well, again, like I say, I have a high doubt of suspicion on that. I mean, it's uh, it's probably, unless we can get some real volume and the companies that and some follow through, I don't know. I hope that you guys see a little bit of a bounce to sell some of this stuff that you're looking to sell, but I'm not too sure we're going to get it. It looks like the rain in South America is kind of going to keep a little bit of a lid on the market. So China's on holiday now, so you know, may see a little bit of a slowdown in their buying.
Yeah, Dave, a lot of the guys listening to this part podcast, if you will, I think might be a little more interested in getting more creative with their marketing than maybe the traditional guys. And, you know, volatility plays are something that you've preached quite a bit in the past. And so I've got just a quick question on that and then a follow-up. First of all, what kind of volatility play might you put in place on the corn market, depending upon where a guy's at? Let's just say a guy hasn't done a whole lot on the 12 crop yet. And then second of all, what other markets should these guys be watching other than the typical corn and soybeans and maybe crude oil markets that they watch on a day-to-day basis?
Well, again, for a producer, you know, these volatility plays, I'm a big I do a lot. I guess I have a more direct hand in developing strategies for people that are going to buy the grain and use it. We are right now, we are short corn futures and long a couple call options. We're hoping that this near-term break pays for our long protection as we go through the year. Now, a producer, again, I like to, when you get into November of last year or November of any crop year, that's when the producer needs to say, okay, I've got some final numbers from the crop. I want to, if I'm going to use a volatility hedge, I want to get that on as early as I can. And why do I want to do that? Because if I'm looking for a volatility play, I want as many USDA reports as I possibly can before those options expire. I want to get a look at every meandering in the crop as we go through the year, so that as from a producer, if you're trying to protect against the downside, maybe you're doing a short at the money put and long double slightly further out of the money put option play. And you know, that gives you one put to play with, and you should, and you can even on a big rally in the market, you can be trading the short put component of that strategy. And because as you get into past and into the 4th of July weekend, when the weather starts to become less prevalent, you want to be so far gone from being short any put and just having your full hedge on. So again, I like a big long strategic play. That gives me, I'd rather be lucky than good, and I'd like to have every benefit of the crop year that I possibly can. Other markets that I think we should be watching, you really do. I mean, the sugar market I think is really important. I think that it's going to surprise some people this year, but the crude oil market, I mean, you just can't. The energy market is something that if the subsidies are gone in both ethanol and biodiesel, and we have Iran threatening, all of a sudden we could throw all those biofuels back into a huge forward shift in demand, and that might be enough to just leverage the grain markets right out of their doldrums. So you really do have to watch the crude oil first and foremost.
That was Dave Hightower, the Hightower Report, and an excerpt from our Commodity Week program. You can hear it in its entirety on our website at willag.org. In just a couple of minutes, I'll return with the agricultural weather forecast. We'll say goodbye, of course, to some of our radio stations. Have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.
It's National Peanut Butter Day. Peanuts were known as early as 950 BC in South America. The first U.S. commercial peanut crop was grown in North Carolina around 1818. Dr. Ambrose Staub of St. Louis has been credited with patenting a peanut butter making machine in 1903. On this day in agricultural history in 1828, Ferdinand Cohn was born. A German naturalist and botanist, he studied insect epidemics and plant diseases. In 1860, James Pollard Espy died. and American meteorologist. He was one of the first to collect meteorological observations by telegraph. He is also credited for giving the first correct explanation of the thermodynamics of cloud formation. In 1922, the Eskimo pie was patented by Danish immigrant Christian Nelson, an Iowa school teacher and candy store owner. Nelson claims the inspiration for the invention came from when he was a boy and unable to decide whether to spend his limited money on a chocolate bar or ice cream. The patent described the treat, quote, in its simplest form, a block or brick of frozen confection within an edible container or shell. In 1988, Charles Glenn King died. King was a biochemist who discovered vitamin C in 1932. And in 2006, Nicholas Shackleton died, an English geologist and paleoclimatologist. He helped identify carbon dioxide as a greenhouse gas. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. Don Day with Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming, joining us. Good afternoon, Don.
Good afternoon.
Well, we are back to partly cloudy skies here in our part of the world, and temperatures aren't terribly bad, 33 degrees outside. What say you for this evening and the rest of the week?
Well, we're going to be looking at the worst of the winter weather here over the next few days, continuing in the Pacific Northwest, where we'll continue to be looking at being hammered. But there is a storm that is over Texas today that's going to be beneficial for some of the southern plain states. In areas of central and eastern Texas, Oklahoma, then areas of the Mississippi Valley, looking at some pretty good chances of rain as this system cuts across the southeast United States. Now, the northern fringes of that system might get some areas of southern Illinois, southern Indiana, Ohio, as we get into late tomorrow night and Thursday with a little bit of what looks to be probably rain, maybe mixed precipitation on the northern fringes, but it'll be the southern plain states that have the best chance in the southeast of getting wet. And then, as we get into the weekend, do expect a trend towards some colder weather. Some cold air will sink south out of the Great Lakes, and temperatures by the weekend going to be downright cold. May not have a lot of snow with that cold, but we are headed to colder weather this weekend.
December, January, February, March, relatively speaking, are 4 months of winter in a large part of the United States. Can you lay out to where in the U.S. we're doing well for soil moisture levels and where we're short at this point halfway through the season?
Well, if we were to look at the U.S. on a whole, we could say that the best soil moisture conditions are, well, here. The Midwest, Corn Belt, many areas of the Delta, the South Central, Northeast United States, and going as far west as the eastern portions of Minnesota, most of Iowa, then extreme areas of eastern Kansas and eastern Nebraska. Once you get further west, soil moisture profiles aren't nearly as good. So the further west you go, the drier it is. North towards the nation's midsection, the more the soil profile is better. Now, when we look at conditions in some of the areas that have been very dry, there's been some improvement in some portions of central and east Texas, central and eastern Oklahoma, and I see that continuing, especially with this next system moving through.
I didn't leave much time, but a very quick word on Argentina and how they're faring now.
Well, they're going to continue to be dry. While rain chances aren't going to be bad for Brazil, only northern and northwest Argentina's got some decent chances of rain.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. If you haven't called in yet for your All Day Ag Outlook ticket, we'll accept that phone call at 217-333-7300 now or anytime you dial it during the regular business hours of the day. That's 217-333-7300. You can pick up your ticket early. I'm Todd Gleason. You have a great afternoon.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul.